Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Thinking Guns podcast, episode 218. My name is Roscoe. How are you doing? I'm joined this week by Yog Dog.
Hello. How are you?
Hello,
doing?
Mate. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm very busy at the minute, but I'm glad to be kept busy because it means that the time between now and Starfield just continues to reduce and I'm not like clock watching. So yeah, I'm pretty good at the minute. I'm super excited for Starfield though, in case it didn't fall through here. I've not been this excited for a game in a while, and I know it's going to be one of those which some of Bethesda's recent titles haven't quite lived up to public expectations, but I know I'll have a blast with it. So I'm super hyped.
So what was Bethesda Studios' last big release? Was it Fallout 76? In terms of a brand new one?
I think so, yeah.
That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while. And that didn't exactly have a smooth launch.
No, it did not.
See, I actually went back and played it a year after it released, and I had a decent time with it playing with friends, but I can see why it was rough at launch. Anyway, we're still in the intro. How are you, Ross?
I'm very well, thanks for asking. For the time being, it is just me and Yog. I know Katzen is going to join us later. But I'm all right. It's been a nice week. Not much has really happened, but I've had a bit of time off, so that's been nice. My flat looks lovely. I know I said that last week, but it continues to look really nice. And I'm very happy about that, because it doesn't always look like this.
What's the weather been like down there?
Mixed. It's been raining and sunny in the space of about half an hour every day. It's ridiculous. The sun cannot decide what it wants to do. But yeah, it's been all right. Oh, look, here's Kat now. Oh, that wasn't long. But yeah, I'm all right. And once again, yes, I am also very, very excited for Starfield. And yeah, I can't wait. Well, I can't wait because I'm not paying for early access. But yeah, not too far away now.
I ended up shelling out the £85 for the premium edition because I'm an idiot. But to be fair, I think after the amount of work I've done these last 3 months, I'm quite happy to treat myself with a good game. So
sure, absolutely. So we can talk to you about it next week then, before the main release.
Yeah.
Sweet. Oh, that's exciting. Hey, Kat.
I don't know why I'm saying cat all the time.
Hey, cat.
Hey. Can you hear me?
Hey. Yeah.
We
are live. We're already recording. Hello.
Oh, hello. I'm so sorry. Hello.
No, it's all right.
Yeah, have we started? Are we live?
We're live. I remember you saying you were going to be late. So I was like, well, let's go for it. And then a minute later, you turned up.
I'm so sad. I'm so sorry. It was me. Basically, I'm a lazy shit. And I thought, nah, I'll go on the pod. Who needs the gym anyway? So I'm here. Hello. Sorry. Hello. So I have arrived.
No, it's fine. Yeah, we're just talking Starfield hype, and it turns out Yog-Dog got early access, so he gets to play it this week. The lucky
oh,
bastard.
Look at that!
Can't wait.
Sick. Nice one, dude. My friend's booked the whole day off of work. He hasn't got like Game Pass, so he's pre-ordered it, and he's also got like the early access. And he's like, I've booked the day off of work. It's happening.
Oh God, day one Bethesda. Oh, gosh, we shall see what happens.
I mean, I'm playing it on an old computer. I already know I'm going to run into issues.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you're playing it on PC, aren't you?
Yep.
Oh, interesting. This should be fun, then. I'm playing it on via Xbox Game Pass, but on PC. So we shall see.
Yikes. Laggy McLag-lag, maybe?
Well, I would have played it on Xbox, but they've capped it at 30 frames, and I'm sorry, I just can't do that anymore. So, PC it is.
Are you a 60-frame snob, Ross?
I've only become that recently, I should stress. I say recently, it was when they added 60 frames and ray tracing to Spider-Man on the PS4. And they said it wasn't possible, and then they made it possible. And I thought I'd go and check it out. and I just couldn't go back, your dog. It was so smooth.
I have a question. What's God of War?
I think God of War is 60 as well.
Is it?
I could be wrong.
I'm wondering.
Can you,
yeah, no, God of War 60. No, God of War 60, definitely. Mm. I mean, maybe not God of War 2018, but God of War, new God of War, I absolutely think is 60, yeah.
Okay.
Are there any big recent titles that are 30 of an upcoming Starfield?
The last major one I remember was Gotham Knights. It depends whether or not you consider that a big title. I think that was the last real kind of big one. Everything else is aiming to hit 60 that I've played recently. So Starfield, it really should be hitting 60, I think, on especially on the Series X. But yeah, it's not for me to say. It's up for the Bethesda to have an amazing, massive game running at 30 frames. If it runs smoothly, then it's going to be fine. And yeah, super hype mode for Starfield. It's very exciting. It's very exciting for Xbox players. I can't wait for them to have a massive first-party game to brag about because it feels like they've never had one.
I'm looking forward to playing it on PlayStation. Oh, wait.
Yeah, see. That's the unfortunate thing about this. It's not going to happen. But it's all right, you know. We've got like Spider-Man 2. We'll be fine over here.
We've got Spider-Man 2. We've got Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, we've got that as well. There are others. I can't think of them right now.
There are others. There's none that I care about, but there's a lot of games. October's apparently a big month. For me, Spider-Man 2 comes out in October.
Hell yeah. Yeah, October's redonkulous for video games, and we'll get there. I don't think we're going to have time to do anything else.
I'm going to be in Italy in October, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have a busy month.
Indeed. Are you a Call of Duty player? Like a yearly COD player? Is that going to bother you?
No, the last time I played a Call of Duty would have been Black Ops 2. Still really enjoyed at the time. But I only did single player and co-op. I don't do, even back then, I didn't really do multiplayer on it.
So I know me and Miles and Sean are hyped for Modern Warfare 3, and it's shiny campaign. But there's so much coming out. There's Assassin's Creed's coming out. Freaking Forza. Sonic Superstars. Hot Wheels Unleashed 2. Alone in the Dark, Spider-Man, City Skyline, Metal Gear Solid. I mean, what is going on here? Ghost Runner 2? Oh, dear. Anyway, that's September.
I'm going through my wish list on Steam and seeing if there's anything in October.
Just seeing if there's any cozy life sims for Cat to play in October.
No. No, no. Everyone's garden can fuck off. Don't care about your watering can or the pickaxe that you give me. No, I am garden cozy sim burnout. There is. I need to kill things. I need to smash things. We need a zombie. I don't care about your cozy ass garden. I'm so sorry.
Harvest Moon: The Winds of Anthos is coming out on October 6th.
That's so amazing. I'm so happy for everybody.
I got City Skylines and Total War Pharaoh, and I'm not massively excited for Total War Pharaoh. City Skylines should be fun, though. City Skylines 2, sorry.
So yeah, it's going to be mental, but yeah, cannot wait. Cannot wait until the gaming season begins. So Kat, how's your week been? You been good?
Yeah, man, I've been good. What have I done? I feel like this week's gone in a bit of a blur. I've not got much to add. I'm a very boring individual, so I can't really say too much. When was the last time? I mean, we spoke last week, didn't we? We've had the Gamescom since then.
Yes.
Massive apologies to that person who just thought we were being miserable bastards because we fucking were. They're absolutely right. We were. Like,
yeah, big time.
Yeah, so yeah, I guess sorry, but also sorry not sorry, because that's just how you're feeling at the time. But I think yeah, it's good to show subjective opinion, but also objectively, there are loads of good games coming out this year, but they're just not games for us, and maybe we should have put it that way instead. But equally, we're a bunch of honest bods on this pod, so
Yeah.
apologies. And
And we're normally
actually,
fairly positive most of the
absolutely, we're like so positive all the
time.
time about most of the things. Unless you catch Greg, I don't know. Sometimes he's not. He was the one who was like, "No, I don't care about that." But, and we embodied that for one whole night. I'm so sorry. but yeah, no. Other than that, been good. What have I done this weekend? It's a lovely bank holiday. I do love a bank holiday. I wish they were every day, apart from maybe the retail hours. But other than that, and the traffic.
Yeah, and the prices of taxis.
Yeah, maybe I just wish it was Saturday every day instead, actually.
Yeah, let's go for
Yeah, let's
Saturday
go for
instead.
that. Yeah, let's go for that. Yeah. How was your bank holiday?
Expensive. No, it was all
Yeah.
right. No, it was fine. I was just jetting up and down from mum's house, and of course, in taxis, that's fairly pricey on a bank holiday.
Yeah, sure.
They charge triple what they normally do.
That's minging, isn't it?
Yeah, so I always forget this, of course, and I
Of
just book a
course.
taxi, not thinking about it. And then I get to the end, and I'm like, "Wait, what? Am I in bloody Bristol? What's going on here?"
Ugh, 30 quid, like probably is about 30 quid, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's it,
Fuck.
it's you know, it's getting down to the Odeon and back from my flat, so it's right the other end of
Yeah.
town. Whatever. But I saw the family, and that was nice.
Very nice.
I was saying to Jog, my flat still remains absolutely pristine. I'm
So
so proud
glad,
of this.
dude.
It's
I'm
just
so
amazing.
glad, dude. I'm so glad. It feels good, doesn't it? It's interesting. I did a cleaning today, and my bedroom is really clean. The kitchen's really clean. The living room's really clean, but the hallway just has loads of laundry in it. So it just looks like I have like hoofed everything up and just chucked it full power at the corridor. And then every other room is really clean. It's really jarring to walk out of the rooms because I'm like, oh, I should probably do that next because that looks like a shit show. But yeah,
Oh,
no, I'm
yeah.
cheese for you, man.
Everyone's got that corner. It's like, don't look over there.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Except mine is multiple corners of the same corridor. But yeah, no, all good, pal, all good.
Yes. Oh, man. November 14th, Hogwarts Legacy on Switch. That's going to be
That's gonna
interesting.
be a shit show.
Positive. Cat positive.
Sorry, it's gonna be. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, over the last few years, people have reported, oh, my PC melted because of games releasing.
Yes.
New World, for example, it happened. It melted a few graphics
I
cards.
had no idea this happened. Tell me more.
So literally,
I
it
mean, that's probably
was
the end of the story, that game graphics melted, but tell me again.
the cards are made out of, well, the important bits anyway. It just had flaws in it, but because the game ran so badly, it caused those flaws to be a bit more apparent compared to the other games. They fixed it fairly quickly. They replaced a few cards and stuff. It wasn't like hundreds of cards, it was a few dozen as far as I'm aware, but it made the news a lot. I reckon that's going to happen with Hogwarts Legacy and Switches. It's just going to
I
brick
mean, I
everyone.
yeah, I mean, I actually, to be fair, I wouldn't play. I wouldn't be surprised, actually.
The Switch is melting in your hands. These Joy-Cons just falling to pieces. I don't know. Unless they pull off a miracle. I mean, the whole could barely run on my PS5.
Yeah. Well, I'm not
It did
bad.
crash a lot. It did crash a fair bit
Did
in the early
it? I
days.
think I only had like maybe one blue screen, two maybe.
Well,
That was it.
that's
But my
that's good.
friend, but Sean's PS4, absolutely. She needed to restart a whole game, man. But
Yeah, and like the Switch has got like the equivalent power of a PS3, so
oh, big
we shall see.
yikes!
We shall see. But it's a great game, so be excited, Switch bonus. Yay. Because
Yeah.
it is a hell of a lot of fun. And if it works, it's gonna be awesome to carry around with you.
He's so good.
I do want to second that tweet that we got last week, actually. In regards to how miserable we were.
It's funny, but it's not. But yeah, it's you know, we always love feedback, don't we? But like,
of course.
I don't know. I remember reading that and thinking, oh, that's so true. But it is kind of sad that if that's the first time they listen to our pod and that's the pod they listen to,
yeah, it's so a bad example of us.
I mean, they're probably not listening today, but yeah. I mean, you know, everyone has good days, bad pods, good pods.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was an absolute mess last week. We had no plan at all. We just went for it. And and it's not last week's episode is not a good representation of us as a team doing podcasts. And it was just so thrown together because, again, we thought we were going to be talking like the whole episode about Gamescom. And it just wasn't the case. So, ergo, we're very sorry, but we aren't normally that negative. It just, I think we're all in bad moods. And it just kind of caught us unawares.
I think last week we ended up starting an hour later than normal. A bunch of us were tired because we'd had a bunch of stuff on in the preceding days and even that day. And on top of that, a lot of us quite disappointed with Gamescom. So it was just the culmination of everything. Like normally,
we might have not conveyed that in the best way. So
yeah. It wasn't our favorite show, but we probably didn't need to go as hard as we did. To be fair, there was a lot of great looking games there, just maybe not ones that we're particularly excited for. But if you are, then amazing. I can't wait for you to play it. And let us know what you think, because that's the wonder about video games. We're all excited for different things. And, you know, that's it. So I just wanted to say that. I do apologize if you thought we were negative. We probably were, but it wasn't at the behest of the Gamescom. It was just last week.
It was a little bit. But maybe not to that extreme.
It's just last week was just a mess. So there we go. Anyway, right. Let's move on to game of the week. So Yogg, what is your game of the week?
My game of the week is a game which isn't out until next February.
What?
It is Homeworld 3.
Ah, yes.
So we were very lucky to get an invite to a press show for showing the story trailer, which we got saw at Gamescom, so that's now public for everyone to see, and a trailer for the War Games mode. So it's a pretty interesting experience. It's a strategy roguelike sort of experience. So you go into a series of battles with your carrier and a few smaller ships, generally frigates, and smaller interceptors. And you need to gather resources, you need to complete objectives, and you need to do an escalating series of objectives over the course of 3 missions. As you gather resources, you can also claim artifacts, whether by destroying a particularly hard enemy or finding some locations on the map where they're hidden and collecting them, which you can use to buff your fleets. Some of them also have a negative impact, but generally, if they have a negative impact, it'll have a bigger positive impact. It's a really cool game mode. It's been really fun watching my squadrons of ships just fly about in formation, engage enemies, just watch contrails and missiles and lasers fly through space. It's quite a pretty game. I'm running on an older system, so I don't have like ray tracing enabled or anything like that, but it still looks really good. And it's been a really fun experience for me because unlike pretty much every other strategy game I've played, it's not played in 2D, it's played in 3D for real time. Similar to the older Homeworld games, Deserts of Karak was set on a planet, this one's set in space again. And it's a bit finickety to get the controls down. I'm still getting used to them, but everything else is great. I love the ship designs. It feels really immersive. The ambient ship chatter is really cool. Watching the visuals as fleets engage each other, and you'll have ships just engage in formation or break apart in space when they're destroyed. The sound's pretty good. It feels very responsive. There's a couple of flaws, particularly balance issues, but because it's quite an early beta, it's not out for, 5-6 months yet. it's still got plenty of time in order to fix those. But honestly, he's probably my most anticipated game for 2024 now. So yeah, that's my game of the week. It's a shame that more people can't play it yet. I'm hoping they do like an open beta so people can test it out. But I will have an article out later this week on the Fingerguns website as well, describing a bit more of my experience with it.
Fantastic. Thanks, man.
No problem.
That's, Home World 3, which, we've been very fortunate to get some early access to. And it's, it's looking like it's going to be an absolute banger. So, yeah, thank you very much for the access. It's been great to check out stuff like that, especially for Yogg. Bless him. All we do is talk consoles.
I do love
so
my stuff.
We were like, Home World 3, give it to Yogg immediately. He loves it. He loves that shit. Fantastic. Kat, your game of the week.
So my game of the week is a bit boring because I'm playing Redacted. Have you ever heard of that game?
Oh, yeah. I love that one.
Yeah.
When Redacted, you do the thing to get the thing on top of the thing.
Yeah, when you adapt the Redacted of the Redacted on the Redacted and you do the Redacted level.
Satisfying.
So awesome. If you have not listened to this pod or you have listened to this pod for quite a while and you don't play games and you have no idea and you think that we're all playing the same game called Redacted, I just want you to know that we're not playing a game called Redacted. It's just that we are tight-lipped by NDAs and embargoes, and we're not able to talk about our experiences yet. So I just wanted to make that clear, because I do know a couple of people listening who might actually genuinely think that we are all playing the same game called Redacted. And I just wanted to make that really clear. But for anybody, because I feel like I would probably at first be like, oh, there's a game called Redacted coming out. And I probably wouldn't get the joke for ages. So if you're like me, you're welcome.
If a game is actually called Redacted comes out, we're screwed.
Yeah, we're screwed, and we should not cover that because it's going to get very confusing. So I'm a bit bound at the moment, playing Redacted, but I have platinumed Dismantle, and it took me 89 hours and 25 minutes.
What?
Yeah,
that's madness.
It is. It's far more than it's about. 10 to 15 hours, maybe about 10 hours, 10 to 12 hours more than the average. And the reason for that is because I tried not to use a guide, and then I didn't realize that one of the biggest tips was to download the DLC and get the campfire fast travel. So I was walking everywhere, which took fucking forever until genuinely seriously, until about 70 hours in. 65 hours in. I'm not fucking kidding you. So you can fast travel against with link towers, but there's only one link tower per area and the map is fucking huge. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, if they were to ever do an update, they should add it in. Anyway, I was looking for something and I was like, I'm going to have to go to a guide for that. I tried so hard not to go to a guide because it was one of those games where it's like a guide would be very simple and you could do that. And I just didn't want to. I wanted to enjoy it for what it was. And sometimes I get those games, and sometimes I get games where I will only follow a guide to play it because I want to enjoy it that way as well. And then someone was like, use a tip, buy this particular DLC, which was £2.30 at the time, and you'll get campfire fast travel. Honestly, Ross, the amount of times that I voice noted Miles just being like, I'm actually going to like yeet myself out of this window because this fucking game is like just like it's like taunting me, because every time something happened, I was just like, yeah, cool. I could have found that out 10 hours ago. That's fucking sick. And then there's stuff like where if I'd have known that, 50 hours ago, that would probably say shaved off a couple of hours too. But 10 out of 10. It's the best game I've played all year. I love it. It's amazing. And really big up to 10 Tons, because I've not enjoyed a game like that in such a long time. And they have recently announced that they've kind of got like a spiritual sequel coming out called Displaced next year. So it's going into early access in 2024. It's not really known when. It looks like it's very much set in the same world, but it's more about tower defense and wave defense, as opposed to like you're exploring like the isolated world and like fighting enemies. You're actually going to build bases and learn to like thrive off that, which is interesting because it kind of hints at like teaching you how to build your own house, right near the end of dismantle, but you don't really need it. You're not doing anything with your house. You're just kind of building for the fucking sake of it. So it's really interesting. And then in the trailer of Displaced, it's almost like it's already teasing a third one. So it's interesting. It's interesting. So, and it's got like a very similar logo. So I'm really looking forward to that because I just want more. I just haven't enjoyed a game like that for ages. So, and I've been talking about it for a while. So it's been my game of the week because I just want to hammer through it. I'm playing Redacted and yeah, hopefully more on that. Oh, not even next week, in 2 weeks' time. So yeah.
And Dismantle was just a game that you saw on premium, wasn't it? Just kind of sitting there.
No, so it was on the PS Monthly Plus. So it came out in 2021 and it was the monthly games for last month, the one of the three. It's not there anymore. Apparently my friend said that he just tried to download it and it wasn't there anymore. So I don't know if it is or if it's still not there. But yeah, it was the PS Monthly Plus games. And it was just, yeah, I saw it on the homepage. I was like, that doesn't look awful. And I was in a bit of a funk. I was genuinely in a funk. I didn't know what to play. I didn't know what I fancied. And yeah, I picked it up and I just could not put it down. And interestingly, I've seen so many people on Twitter say the exact same thing, like how they just found it on PS Plus. It was the game of the month, you know, one of the games of the month to download. They gave it a bash and they've not been able to put it down. People who are writing on the Displaced Reddit or the Displaced, because they're doing dev diaries at the moment for it. They're all commenting like, wow, can't believe it took me this long to find Dismantle. So it's getting a lot of love. And I think this is one thing where like, I've genuinely think it's such an advantage to the PS Plus stuff because, you know, I think like Xbox Game Pass, you're only really gonna, I think one of the downsides to that is that you're only really gonna look for what you think you like potentially. Whereas with the like monthly games that rotate, I always look at the titles and I always think, oh, maybe I'd like that. But I'd probably never look for it because I wouldn't know I didn't like it or if I did like it.
Yeah, sure.
Does that make sense? So, yeah, absolute gem. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. You've been looking for a 10 out of 10 to review, but you didn't review this one, did you?
I didn't review this one. Yeah, it's great. But yeah, no, I'm yet to give a 10 out of 10. So I don't know, 10 tons. If you wanna hit me up with Displaced, you might be my first. But no, I'm kidding, of course. But yeah, no, Josh has reminded me in the last month that I'm a harsh critic, and I was like, I don't think I'm harsh. I think I'm fair. I've been really honest. Like, I went through a period of time where I gave a lot of 8s and 9s out. It's just recently. Mm-hmm. I think when you go and move to PC games, you get a much more mixed bag. So, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. That is Dismantle, which has been available for a couple of years. But, yeah, has seen a whole new lease of life suddenly on PS Plus. Which is
it really
cool.
Has. Yeah.
Very cool. What have I been playing?
Yeah, what have you been playing,
Ross? I've been playing a game called Station to Station.
Have you actually played it? Was it a demo?
Demo on Steam. Yeah.
Oh, sick.
This is I saw like a 30-second video of this on Twitter, like yesterday or the day before. And it's this beautiful voxel 3D game. And I'm like, I love voxel pixel art. I think it looks incredible. And the way that they've done it with the blurred images and they've just the sense of depth in it, I was like, I need to check this out. And thankfully, there was a demo on Steam. And it's a very sweet game. You just connect train stations, Skip. You just connect train stations through their railways, and it's
wow.
Lovely,
that's so satisfying for my neat little brain.
It's like, lovely and simple, and it's just such a sweet little game. And the demo offers 3 levels, and the game is due out in October. It's these 3 levels. The first one, yeah, it's nice and easy at the start, but then it does get a little tricky when you've got one more connection to do, but you haven't got enough money, so you got to take out one of the other connections. You realize you've done it wrong, and it was all a nightmare. But I was like, well, screw this game. But then I thought, no, I'm going to get back into it. And I figured out a much easier way to connect everything. And it was really satisfying. And the second level, I was so much more relaxed. And I was just having a really nice time with connecting train stations together and connecting mills and connecting cheeseries all the way through down to the mill. Because the mill's got to get this from the mill to go to the cheese. And the cheese has got to go over here to go back to there to the station. It's just like, this is a really lovely game. And I don't know why it caught my imagination, but it really did. And it's been a game that I've been playing. I played yesterday on my day off for I'd say about 3 or 4 hours once the demo was complete. And I haven't played it again this morning before I went to work. It's just a sweet little thing. It's a sweet little thing. But I'm currently reviewing WrestleQuest, which is out now. So I'm not breaking any embargoes, thank God. It's a wrestling top-down pixel RPG where you play as a wrestler and you've just got to fight your way to the top to become the old-time wrestling champion. But you're born on this kind of a island where, like, you know, you live on the side and you don't become wrestlers. You don't become pop stars or rock stars. You're just, you know, just nobody. But this guy, absolutely determined to become a worldwide wrestling champion. And for some reason, it appealed to me because it kind of focuses on, like, the early 90s, late 80s era of wrestling, which is when I was a kid and when I watched it really seriously. And, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage is in it. And I was like, okay, I've got to check this out. And I'm having a really fun time with it. My review should be up hopefully by the weekend. If not the weekend, then early next week. And it's a really fun time. It's got all the RPG elements you would expect. It's got turn-based wrestling, which is kind of a new thing. It kind of threw me for a loop a little bit. But obviously it's an RPG, so I get it. It's got, you know, tons of characters. It's got tons of life about it. It's a whole lot of fun. So if you're into your wrestling, into your RPG, this is a Sean Davies joint to such a degree I can't even describe it without him going, yep, I'm going to buy it. But hey, man, you don't need to buy it because we share games. So just download it because I know you'll love it. So I highly recommend WrestleQuest. Look out for my full review next week. It's something that I was very happy to play. And yeah, I'm looking forward to getting a little bit deeper in it once I'm off work for the weekend. And obviously Sea of Stars came out today. I haven't yet played it. I played the demo to the end, but I'm so excited to get into that as well. And that is my pre-Starfield game. It is my starter before the main meal the next couple of weeks. I've been so excited for Sea of Stars. It's been reviewing incredibly well. So yeah, hype mode, activate. The gaming season has begun, and I'm very excited to jump in to all of these random things. So yeah, that's what I've been playing. And, of course, you know, Fortnite's brand new season. Oh my God. I was like, you know what? The jungle season, I wasn't feeling at all.
No, I wasn't. And do you know what? I haven't met one person who was feeling that. I think I switched off completely. I think I was like something ridiculous, like level 12 of the jungle season. I've already surpassed that now on this Fortnite season. This Fortnite season fucking rocks.
This is the best season.
In a long time.
For a long, long time. They have absolutely nailed everything that's so dumb and wonderful about Fortnite. I just love all the POIs. All the new locations are so much fun to explore.
Yeah, and that, like, it makes you feel like you're in a movie when you do the safe, and then you have to run out, and it's got this like really extravagant film music, and then all these like guards come after you. It's bloody great.
It's great. The rocket ram is the best thing they've added to the game in years.
And that shotgun drum.
Oh, the drum shotgun. Yummy,
yummy. Yeah.
I'm in love with it. It's absolutely great. I'm so happy that it's gone full circle, and I'm happy with this new season because, yeah, the last one was a disappointment.
So interesting, isn't it? Because, like, if somebody would have jumped in at the jungle game, they probably would have never have gone back. And it's so interesting that, like, there are a group of Fortniters that will... I don't know if that's what you call themselves. I'm going to call myself a Fortniter. Fuck it.
Yeah.
There are a group of Fortniters, myself included, where, like, if I don't like a season, I'll probably switch off, but I'll always come back and check out the next one. It's never a write-off game for me because it's so ever-changing and so ever-evolving. I'm like, yeah, I'll wait into the next one. And it's very rare that I don't like a season. But I just, even though the jungle one was completely different and it was a great idea, I think just because we just had the Indiana Jones tomb thing, it was too similar. It was like, you should have probably added that, the Indiana Jones one, as opposed to like having a bit of a break and then coming to this like jungle mud thing. I just wasn't feeling it. But yeah, no, I love this modern, like fancy penthouse takedown thing.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Having a great time stealing weapons and doing it with alarms and lasers. And
you
know, it's just
I do
fun.
Find that like I'm getting absolutely... I was going to say a rude word there. I'm getting absolutely blotted within like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
like literally, like I'm not going very far. It's really hard. Like there are sweaties on there immediately already.
Yeah. The first couple of days of a new season, I mean, it's just probably best to avoid the new locations because they're going to be absolutely swamped. Yeah. I've managed to do all the missions now, just running kind of in and out. But yeah, the first day I was like, I'm gonna go down and check it out. I lasted like 30 seconds, if that. And well, the next one was like 5 minutes. So yeah, it was like, okay, I'm gonna just go run around and just, you know, let everyone do what they need to do, and then I'll go and explore. And that's the best way to do it, I think, is just to take it easy a little bit. But now I can jump down, and people have already done all their missions, so it's like I can jump down and have a little run around, find the new weapons, and it's just fun. I'm actually excited to play Fortnite every day now. I'm like, yeah, it's playing Fortnite. Yeah, I love it. Anyway, Fortnite, WrestleQuest, Station to Station. I've had a good week. It's been all right.
Nice.
Yeah. And I've got Sea of Stars to come. My God, Kat. Games, man.
Games!
Yay!
And do you know what else PlayStation have?
What do they have?
Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2!
Spider-Man
2! Fuck you, Starfield!
kidding. I'm just being
We're kidding.
Out.
We're all going to
we're
play
kidding.
Starfield.
We're kidding. Yeah, we're all going to play Starfield. You can get off our ass. Yeah. Jesus!
We're all excited for Starfield. We're not biased to PlayStation, even though everyone thinks we are. We're not. Yeah. They're just games to play there. That's all, okay?
Yeah.
But they are biased, everyone. They're lying.
Stay out of this, Yogg.
Listen, man. Do you know what? I am biased. Do you know why? Because the Xbox app fucking sucks. So the Xbox app can suck my ass.
I have to agree with you on that one. It is absolutely terrible.
Like, it locked me out of Xbox Live, Game Pass, sorry, for months and months. I couldn't play it. I cried at Miles because I thought it was my new laptop. And Miles spent hours trying to be like, I really don't think it's your laptop. Like, he tried everything. We tried installing it, reinstalling it. We tried to even go into like the something, I don't know, something, you know, the real hardware stuff to try and figure it the fuck out. Yeah, and it was just the Xbox app the whole flipping time. So you're right. I am biased towards PlayStation right now. Maybe that'll change in 2 weeks when Starfield comes out. You never know.
Are you going to buy a PlayStation Portal?
What the fuck is a PlayStation Portal? Is it that keypad thing?
Oh yeah, the remote play thing has got a date and a price now.
No, wait. I don't know how I missed it. It's called the Portal. I feel like I knew it by its code name.
Yeah. I thought you were saying Portable, and I was like, isn't that like 20 years old at a stage?
Yeah, it's not the PlayStation Portable.
No,
it's just dumbass remote play only thing.
I was going to say it just screams lag to me.
Yeah,
screams like very expensive lag.
Yeah,
like it would be great if, like, for example, like if I was on the train for like an hour a day, I might actually do that. Like when I do my placements and I can get the train there, or if I can get the train there, maybe I'll buy it. But then maybe I won't and just play the Switch instead. I don't know. We'll figure out.
I know what you mean. Do I want it? No.
Yeah. No. I don't.
Am I going to
get it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my pathetic life in a nutshell. But there we are. We've all got shiny PCs to play Starfield, so don't worry about it, guys. We will have plenty of Starfield coverage coming your way soon, I promise. Right then, let's get into the news. And the news is the Switch has overtaken the Wii in lifetime sales in the US. It is now right behind the Xbox 360 in the country. And this is by, of course, the almighty Chris Scullion at VGC. The Nintendo Switch's lifetime sales have now overtaken those of the Wii in the United States. As reported by GameIndustry.biz, Sir Kana, foreman of the NPD Group, have revealed that the Switch overtook the Wii in the US during July 2023. It is now reportedly less than a million units behind the Xbox 360's lifetime sales in the US and less than 5 million behind those of the PS2. Or 5 million. I put 15 million. I should change that. 5 million. I read that wrong, obviously. The Switch has already overtaken the Wii in terms of global sales back in February 2022, which is absolutely bonkers when you think about it. With a past of his lifetimes of 101.63 million. So, lots of numbers and lots of things. Yog Dog, do you think it can beat the PS2? Do you think there's enough time left?
I'll guarantee it. Bearing in mind that it's going to get cheaper and cheaper in developing countries like Brazil, some places in Africa and so on, it'll proliferate further in countries where there's a huge user base. I can see it selling another 15, 20 million over the next 5 years, honestly. So 5 million is nothing. That will definitely be passed within a year and a half if I had to put a number on it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think when it passed the Wii, I think I never expected it to do that, because you know, if you remember, the Wii was just an absolute, it was just a monster.
Yeah.
Even like non-gamers were buying Wiis. You know, it was just, it just became a thing to have in your house rather than just the games console.
It's weird. The Wii sold a lot of consoles, but didn't feel like it sold a lot of games. Like, everyone had Wii Sports.
Yeah. That's so true. You're so right. It's like everyone had a Wii, but like everyone had Wii Sports or Wii Fit. That was probably about it.
Yeah, maybe I remember an Olympics game, which was decently popular. And
the Sonic one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you mean the Mario and Sonic at the Olympics?
Yeah.
That was a great game because it featured two lovable mascots.
It definitely featured one lovable mascot. I actually quite enjoyed that one.
Well, there we go. That is an exclusive here, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go. That's a Sonic game that Yogg likes, and we will be recording that and editing it and playing it every time you have anything bad to say.
He loves Mario games. I'll
go get a Wii off eBay, copy the game, and I'll record an exclusive video for Finger Guns at some stage.
Oh my god!
Yes, King, do it. All right,
we'll see you online.
Awesome.
I'll do a 100-meter race of you, Mario versus Sonic.
I'm not running for shit, even on the Wii. So I will. I'll play tennis.
All right, deal. Deal.
It had archery, didn't it? I think.
Oh yeah, it did. Give me archery. I actually didn't play it, so like. It's one of those things that I never got to play in the end.
Oh.
Oh. I did have a lot of other games on the Wii, which was bad. WarioWare, absolute fucking classic game, that.
Amazing, yeah. Fantastic.
Amazing.
The Wii is the only console I finished a Resident Evil game on. Finished Resident Evil 4.
Wow.
Nice. So, yeah. I mean, the Switch is just a behemoth at this point. But it was the whole buy console system that Nintendo have. So if you go back to the SNES was a massive machine. And the N64 was a massive machine. The GameCube didn't do so well. The Wii was a monster. The Wii U didn't do so well. The Switch was a monster. It was like every other time they get it right. So the next time, there's a worry that this trend might continue. And they learn the wrong lessons from the system. But I think if the Switch 2 is literally just a Switch 2, which is the exact same thing, a handheld with a dock, just insanely more powerful. I think that's really all it needs to be as successful as a Switch, if not more so, and also backwards compatible. I think that's really important as well. But, you know, what did the Switch do right, do you think, Gat? What has it done to capture this insane audience?
It's tricky, isn't it? Because, like, there was... What was the... I think it's captured everything that everybody, like the Wii, for example, was the first of its kind. It almost like invented or made VR very, very accessible to the average household, which is, you know, more VR in a sense with the kind of remotes. And so I think people really loved that. And like one of you were saying, you know, it became like the norm to just have a Wii, like even like community centers and businesses and, you know, waiting rooms had Wiis for some reason. And I think that they did it so right by saying we can make that, but make it to wherever you go, so it's not in the vicinity of your front room. You don't have to be in your front room to be able to play this title. And having that, like having those detachable components almost mimics the Wii in a way. Like it's kind of like the same but different, isn't it? It's kind of very similar-esque mechanic, but it's also best of both worlds. You can still have it on your TV. You can still play it in handheld mode, you know, around your wrist, so to speak. But you can also play it in the car, play it on the train, play it at work, play it on a walk, play it in the park, you know, and I think that's why it did so well, because it was that really escalated step up. It wasn't like the Wii but better, and I completely agree with you. If this is just a Switch 2, I don't know if it will do so well, because I think Nintendo have always been very, very clever about their next console being so different. Like every so often their console's just so very different, you would never guess that the Switch and the GameCube are the same developer, the GameCube and the SNES. You know, it's one of those things where we have the PS1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Xbox, SX, 360. Like, they're all very similar, but Nintendo have always managed to do something a bit out of the box every so often, and they've really stepped up. That's one way they do have. Yes, they have Mario. They really do step up their consoles because no one else was really doing. Actually, that's a lie. PlayStation had that weird camera thing where you could wash windows. When I'm washing windows, and it had that song on it. But other than that, you know, I think it was just so groundbreaking to the games industry, the Wii, that to be able to then better that by saying, yeah, but what about if we could have that anywhere we wanted, was genius. And you took everything that people loved about the Wii, i.e. the cool little controller handles, the way that you can play it in your hand, but having that choice to say, well, you can still play it just like the Wii, or you can do this brand new thing and take it with you wherever you go. And whilst that is quote unquote not brand new, it also, I guess, encompasses very beloved consoles from Nintendo, such as the Game Boy Color, you know, the 3DS. It's kind of that. It's I guess taking your little brother and your little sister, your older brother and your older sister, and you know, I was gonna say merging them together, and now I've made it weird. So you know what I'm trying to say? It's you know, it's two sides of a coin that was very cool, and they've put it together. So that's what I think has been so successful about Switch. And also COVID had a massive surge of Switches in business. Like, they sold out of Switches in Europe. Like, that was really strange. Like, it was impossible to get a Switch when COVID hit. The Switch was the new Wii when COVID hit. It had this like resurgence of demand. And I think that came with like Switch Lite because it was that cheaper option. It came at perfectly the right time. So yeah, that's why. And I definitely think they'll do it.
Animal Crossing launching the same week as COVID was just a massive stroke.
Yes, absolutely. Like, you know, people love Animal Crossing anyway, you know, because of the Wii, and you know, it's not new, but it was, yeah, that stroke of, oh my God, here is a game where I can create a whole new world and not have to pay attention to this world because I have to stay in my bedroom and can only speak to four people. You know?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and I think the software helped as well. Breath of the Wild launching with it was a massive thing.
Absolutely.
And it, you know, everyone is like it's a game of generation for a lot of people.
I think whenever a new console comes out with a game as high profile as something like Zelda, you've always got a good start. Like the PS4 and Uncharted 4. Always got a good start. Was that right? Am I the right console to the right game there? PS3 to Uncharted 4?
It didn't launch with Uncharted 4, no.
Oh, what am I thinking of?
Well, no.
I don't know what I'm thinking of, but I thought it was the PS3 or the PS4 that launched with Uncharted 4. Anyway,
The PS Uncharted 4 was PS4, and I didn't launch with Uncharted 4.
was it shortly after? Was it like right after it? We'll have to fact check this later. Anyway, what I'm suggesting is that when a console launches with a particular game attached to it that's very high profile, that's also always going to, like the GameCube had Pikmin, for example, with it. So,
Yeah, and
but I do
Luigi's
know it's
Mansion.
right.
Let's not forget the
And Luigi's
almighty Luigi's
Mansion,
Mansion.
and the mighty, incomparable Luigi's Mansion with the most banging soundtrack. Okay.
Yeah, I mean the launch window of Switch of Zelda, Mario Kart 8,
Yeah.
Odyssey. It was just like bang, bang,
And
bang.
Pokemon Eevee and Pokemon Pikachu.
Yep, absolutely. Nintendo's first party output this generation has been nothing short of stunning, effectively, and that again, that helps. You want to play great games, then you buy a Nintendo console.
Absolutely. And if you want to play the best strategy game ever, then you have to go to Nintendo and play
Well,
Rabbids.
exactly. You have to play
Yeah,
Switch if you want
so.
to play the best strategy game of all time.
And actually, we have someone on our team who is, you know, the expert in strategy games. So you should talk to him after you play it.
Yeah, please let
Yeah.
Yogurt know how much you loved Mario Rabbids.
And really like how much it really is akin to the genre of strategy and how much it deserved that award last year.
Yeah, because it really did.
I'm sorry, Yog, I love you.
Someone's terribly silent.
It's all right. It's fine. Don't
Don't worry. I mean, we'll talk
worry
about Baldur's Gate 3 in a minute. So, I mean,
about
like, I'm
it.
getting my own comeuppance. I'm just, you know, mad about it.
Yeah, so the Switch is on task to be the best-selling console of all time. It looks like it's going to do it. So, well done, Nintendo. You guys rock, as ever. And you've got the best mascot, and you make the best first-party games. Isn't that right, Yogg?
Yes.
There it is. There it is. Bless him. I'm sorry, Yogg, to put you in that position. let's talk Baldur's Gate 3, which is coming to Xbox this year. But split screen has been removed for Xbox Series S. This is, again, from Chris Scullion on VGC. You think I've took the website I go to for news, don't you? Do I? Oh, definitely not. Baldur's Gate 3 will be coming to Xbox this year, despite fears by developer Larian, that it would be pushed back to 2024. The Larian founder and CEO, Svev Vinky, that's a great fucking name, my God, posted on Twitter that a solution had been found that would allow the game to be released on Xbox Series X and Series S this year. Super happy to confirm that after meeting Phil Spencer yesterday, we found a solution that allows us to bring Baldur's Gate 3 to Xbox players this year still. Something we've been working towards for quite some time. All improvements will be there with split-screen co-op on Series X. Series S will not feature split-screen co-op, but would include cross-save progression between Steam and the Xbox Series. Split-screen co-op has been a sticking point for Larian, with the studio seemingly struggling to get the mode running on the less powerful Series S hardware to a level it was happy with. So, I didn't even know Baldur's Gate was due for Xbox. It looks like it's been completely confirmed now. It is happening this year. That's very exciting for Xbox players, because they've got so much to play this summer. My God, guys, you're a pup overfloweth. It's unbelievable. But Series S owners are going to get a little bit shafted. Kat, is this the first signs that the Series S is holding back video games? Dare I say it?
I think it's tricky anyway, isn't it? S is after X, right? I always get this fucked up.
Yes, X is the big tower one. S is the tiny one.
Right, because this is the thing, like, when you're starting to phone up, like, why couldn't have we just had Xbox 360, Xbox 640? I don't know. Why couldn't we just have that? Xbox... Anywho, yes. I mean, I think it's certainly the sign of the times of, you know, this is exactly why we get upgrades every couple of years, because these games have been in development for X amount of time, and somehow, you know, the consoles need to keep up with that. It's tricky, isn't it? Because there's only so much that can be done, and in trying to port and in trying to, I guess, sacrifice whatever it is to the game to be able to make it accessible for all players. And there is a whole argument in there to be had about accessibility and quality and all that jazz. And because, you know, you shouldn't have to feel like you need to upgrade your console every 4 years just to keep up with the latest games. Like, that's another argument in there somewhere. But yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? I forgot my point that I was going to make 5 minutes ago about that. But yeah, it's tricky. Is it the sign? Yes, probably. I mean, it's probably not the only sign. There's probably been other games where, I think there have been other games where, I mean, whatchamacallit, I mean, that was probably more due to the game, Fallen Order. Not Fallen Order. Fallen Order? Yeah, Fallen Order. Whatever.
Survivor?
Survivor! That's the one. You know, but that did terribly on all consoles. So it's it's a tricky argument to be had, isn't it? Because should then developers be scaling back their development so it's more accessible and have that in mind? But it's really tricky to do 7 years in the past, eight, you know, 5 years in the past. You know, they're going to the highest tech they possibly can at the time that they're doing it. Yeah, it's tricky. But then, of course, I don't think it's been a very good 2 years for any game that has been delayed, or that has been coming out and is being cross-pollinated against all the consoles and PC, because they all do have different specs. There were different timelines. There were different everything. And it's such a tricky balancing act, I think. So, yeah, we'll have to see. I don't think it's a brag. I think that it, you know, Baldur's Gate's so amazing. They can't play on Xbox. Fuck off.
Positive.
Positive, 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 positive. You know what? I saw someone the other day, and do you know what? I'm still 600 words into my Baldur's Gate rant, but you know, it's not very positive, so I'm not gonna post it. About how people should play one and two because it's very different from the third. I'm like, is it? Exact point. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Whatever, I'm not bitter.
No.
So yeah, I don't think it's a brag. I don't think it should be, you know, there was that article which spun it that way, wasn't there? Of like, oh well, you know, it's holding back, you know, Baldur's Gate has a lot to answer for because it's so amazing. Shh. I don't know. Anyway, yes, that's my answer.
Ooh, this was the wrong game to bring up. Oh dear.
Oh
Oh
yeah.
my God. I didn't realize you were so bitter about it still. Oh God.
Yeah, I think I will be for a long time, you know. I think
That's all
it's
right.
because it's just the it's the weird to see the community start to acknowledge how different it is. It's a very layered thing. It's like I saw this thing where it's like you must play Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, but you know, it's a very different they're very different beasts from the third. And I'm like, right, okay. So but that's the thing, like, should it be? Should it be a completely different beast from the third when you already have two in line? I don't know. Anywho, so it's tricky. It's layered because of course it objectively it's a fantastic game. On PC it runs
Yes.
amazing. All of my fucking Steam friends are playing it. When I forget it's Baldur's Gate, I actually have a lot of fun.
I suppose you haven't explored the split screen options, so
I've not, no.
no,
I've
because
not.
no, that would be what, playing it locally, I guess, on one PC.
Yes, I can imagine. Yeah, we're at the same party locally. And I've not met anybody who wants to join, like, play it online either. Like, and even if I did, they'd probably be at different, wildly different parts. Like, Baldur's Gate is the type of game where you want to start it together from the beginning. Some people do just jump into other people's games. Yeah, so it's one of those.
Sure.
So, but I think a lot of people are exploring it by themselves and experiencing it. Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't think Series S owners are missing out on too much here, to be honest.
No, absolutely not. And I think it's, you know, tell as old as time, isn't it? This argument always circulates every so often with a game. You know, a couple of years ago, it was Cyberpunk. So,
Oh boy, those were the
oh
days.
boy, look at that.
Have you started Cyberpunk yet?
No, it's on the
No.
list. It's still on the list. It's still on the list, you know.
It's on the list.
It's on the list. It's on the big long list. You know, I still need to finish. I really want to go back to Red Dead. Basically, I just need to, like, I don't know,
I'll tell you what, it might be worth after
retire.
the massive update at the end of this month for Cyberpunk. It might be worth jumping in then, because it's almost like a brand new game.
Yeah, I might do because you know I went to The Witcher and then they re-released it and then I went to Red Dead. Now they're re-releasing that and I'm like, for fuck's sake! So maybe I'll wait actually properly until it's, you know, all loved up.
Indeed. Indeed. I can't wait. I'm really excited to see the changes.
I
It's
do
going to be
need a new
very
game other
interesting.
than like the ones I'm reviewing because I've got not got the dismantle. So maybe it's the right time loss. When's this
Yeah.
update?
The 27th?
September.
Oh, no, this month,
Oh, then
I
it's
believe.
done. 2 days ago.
I mean, yeah, okay, next month then. Sorry, I'm thinking September.
Okay.
My head works the same way as my work rota does. So it's like every 4 weeks rather than every month.
Fair, 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 fair.
Yeah. So yeah,
Yeah.
it is the end of September.
Fair, fair.
Good, good. Yo, are you playing Baldur's Gate 3? I can't remember.
No, but like everyone who watches my stream is,
Ah,
I feel like the odd one out.
and they're like, dude, why aren't you playing Baldur's Gate 3, man?
I've had that a few times, yeah.
Well, the question arises, why aren't you playing Baldur's Gate 3, man?
Other than from budgetary reasons, I had to choose between Baldur's Gate 3 and Starfield's just a bit of a better fit for me.
Fair enough.
CRPGs are a hit and miss with me. I enjoy Pathfinder Kingmaker. I've not tried Pathfinder Wrath of Righteous yet. And I have just started playing the beta in the last couple of months for Warhammer 40k Rogue Trader, which isn't out fully yet. That'll be next year, I guess, if I had to guess. And just I don't know. Even with everyone saying how amazing it is, I don't know how much of a fit it would be for me personally. I mean, with these sort of games, I tend to prefer to wait until all the DLC is out and just pick it up then anyway. If they do DLC, I don't know what Larian's plan is for post launch support for the game. So yeah, it's
okay, fair.
It's just one of those pass me by.
Kat, am I saying the devil credit? Is it Larian or Larian?
I've always said Larian. Yeah, but it's not my dev. Not my devs. You're not my devs for Baldur's Gate 2. So you can be called whatever the fuck you like. You made Divinity of Sin.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that
3.
Up again. Jesus Christ.
I've always said Larian. Okay.
Can confirm the big update for Cyberpunk is on the 26th of September. So just under a month away. A month ago. So, Yogg, what do you make of this thing? Do you think... he's gone. Never mind. What do I think about it?
Yeah, what do you think about it?
Well, as someone who's played an immense amount of Baldur's Gate 3 cooperatively locally, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think the Series S is an excellent console. I think it's a really smart idea to allow people that cannot afford £500 Xbox Series X's to jump in and play the games that they want to play. Yes, it is less powerful than the X by, I mean, not that much of a margin. It's very insignificant. I'm sure a lot of hardcore Xbox players are now shouting at me down their podcast going, you fucking idiot, of course it is. But it's not. I mean, the Series S is perfectly fine. I played Forza Horizon 5 on it and it looked absolutely gorgeous. So it's a perfectly powerful system. I don't know how much power Baldur's Gate needs really to run smoothly. I guess we'll find out. You said it runs perfectly fine on your laptop.
And I got a pretty decent laptop. Miles is a bit mad, really. I'm also wondering as well, like, actually, with a game like Baldur's Gate, if it's even. Well, I don't know. I think they did it with Divinity of Sin. I can't remember. If it's even, like, not necessarily worth it, but if it's, you know, I'm trying to think of the right word. What am I thinking of, Ross? Like,
I don't know, Kat.
Is it advantageous to play it split screen and, you know, the game in the world is that detailed and you have to, you know, it just depends. Maybe it will work and it will be absolutely fine. I think I did play Divinity of Sin briefly. It was split screen and it actually worked quite well. It's slightly annoying. But for me, I would always recommend playing a game like that, especially when I played one and two with friends on your own screen. And if you can do online multiplayer instead.
I mean, it's rendering games. I mean, Halo Infinite doesn't have a split screen, which is a devastating thing. But then you go back to like the technical things. Where it's like, what it's doing is rendering the game twice in 4K. And yeah, some systems just can't do that. And it looks like the Series S is one of those systems.
Yeah, for sure.
And it is unfortunate because, you know, there may be some people out there that do want to play it locally, cooperatively. I never thought it was that kind of game, to be honest. I didn't look at it and go, oh, this is an obvious multiplayer game where it looks like such a single-player experience and a single-player
story. It's because you can play the whole game together. So, like, someone can be a part of your party from the very get-go. So instead of a single-player adventure, it turns into like a duo-player adventure. And you can still make all the same decisions, but you make them together and you fight together. And that person has complete control over what they do. And then you have complete control over what you do. And you can also, I mean, I don't know, Larian, if you've done it this way, because you've changed everything fucking else. So who knows if you've done it this way. But yeah, in 1 and 2, like, you would have complete control over your character. And basically what you do is decide between yourselves, like, I don't know, who's going to control who and, you know, do it that way kind of thing. Or you talk together about how your party's going to run and et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes it's better to, like, say, like, I'll take these three people and then you take these two people choose with the game how you're going to do it. But, yeah, you can basically play the whole campaign. And it doesn't affect the story of the campaign that there's two of you. I mean, the only thing that it would affect, well, I don't know, Larian, whether you change this or not, is... obviously, you can have you'll have one less party member that you can add because you've got you and your friend.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, it works really, really well. It's such a great game to play together. It's one of those like games where like you could bring a laptop. Like this is my fond. This is why I have hundreds of hours in 1 and 2 because I had a friend who I brought a laptop over to his. He'd play on his PC. I'd play on my laptop, and we'd do it that way. I played the whole first. We played the second one together. And just hundreds of hours of fun, just dying, working out, RPGing. Oh, it was great. Like a little LAN party.
Nice. That's really cool. Yogg, welcome back. Welcome back, Yogg.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Pleasure to have you back. I guess my question was about the Series S. Do you see a future for it? Phil Spencer has this week doubled down and said he doesn't see a future where the Series S doesn't exist. But there's every chance that there might be one in the few years' time. What do you think?
So the Series S is the lower powered Xbox, right? From the most recent gen. I find Xbox naming nomenclature really weird.
It's the little white one with the big black dot on it.
Do I see a future for it? No, I think it's going to be phased out over time. Problem is, its lack of power, just like for the Switch, is becoming will be increasingly noticed. In recent years, the last year really, games have become a lot more demanding on PC, and that's going to filter through to consoles as well. Because if you're making a port of a game for a PC and console, both versions are going to need increased amounts of processing power, or whatever you want to call it. It needs more grunts in the background from the hardware, and that's just going to increasingly going to hold back development of games, because if one Xbox has less performance than the other, even if it's only 5-10%, that 5-10% is often what matters in a lot of games now. It's becoming increasingly difficult. I mean, we've seen all the bugs and everything from workarounds on games in the last year or so. What was the last launch we had for a big title which didn't have tons of bugs or hardware issues? Like, look at Star Wars. Is it Jedi Survivor, the most recent one?
Yes.
That had terrible issues for PC, and I think it had pretty big issues for console as well. Games just need a lot more performance nowadays, and unfortunately, if a console which is meant to be going up against its counterpart but has less performance compared to it, it's going to have a big impact. You're going to want to make sure that you put the maximum amount of development in to make your games look as good as possible for the Xbox Series X, not the S. So I don't see a future for it long term. I think it'll start to be phased out and then dropped entirely over the next couple of years. And aren't there rumors of the next generation of console already? Which
I don't know. I haven't read anything of those.
It's literally very early rumors of like what the hardware is going to be. I'm fairly certain I read something at some stage. So I think the big thing for PC gaming, which I'm more familiar with, is VRAM nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So graphics cards are running into problems. So the most up-to-date card series from Nvidia, who is even now what most people buy, although AMD is getting a bigger market share, is the 40 series. And some of the 40 series cards, which aren't the top tier cards, so like the 4060, 4070, etc., have only got like 8 GB of VRAM. Unless you opt for the bigger one. And that's just not enough for a lot of titles. Like, it's barely enough for some of the ones that are coming out now, like the Star Wars game. It's not going to be enough in a year or two. So I can see consoles running into similar problems. The Series S in particular, because if that's weaker than the others, it's going to have problems.
Indeed. It's a shame because it really is it's a smart system and it makes a lot of sense financially. And it is powerful, you know. Like I said, I was running Forza Horizon 5 on it beautifully earlier this year. And it is a great little system. But these cuts that are now happening to big games, you know, they probably will start happening a little more. And that's gonna lead to, you know, developers going, well, we just really want to develop for the X, not for both of them.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Maybe that's why Starfield is stuck at 30. Who knows? But that's Baldur's Gate 3 coming to Xbox at some point in the future. It's coming to PS5 on the 6th of September. Oh, there's something else coming out on September 6th as well, isn't there?
There is. Should we talk about it?
Well, it should lead, hopefully, nicely after the next news story. So we should be able to talk about it then, if that's cool.
That is cool.
All right. Xbox have ended their £1 Game Pass promotion 2 weeks before Starfield launches. Andy Robinson at VGC. Microsoft have ended its latest £1 Xbox Game Pass promotion days before the release of its much-anticipated exclusive Starfield. As spotted by XGP, the $1, €1, £1 for 14 days of Game Pass promo has disappeared from the Microsoft store this weekend after it was reintroduced in July. Previously, the deal was available for several months until Microsoft ended it in March, saying it was evaluating different marketing promotions for now for new members in the future. A later withdrawal comes days before Starfield's early access release date on August 31st. The £70 standard version of Starfield, which includes the base game, will be available via Xbox Game Pass. Now, Kat, is this cheeky or is it just smart business?
How did you know I was going to say it was cheeky?
I don't know. I don't ever use that word myself. So,
well, it's a bit cheeky, though, isn't it?
It's a little bit.
I think it's a reminder as well, like quite a harsh reminder that they are a business and this is just a bit shitty, isn't it? And I said that a couple of years ago on the pod that like it's becoming ever more apparent that PlayStation is a business. And yes, obviously that's just what it is, but it becomes more apparent, which makes you feel a little bit less, I guess, connected in a way, like a community, because, you know, it's one of those things where it just feels like, do you care? Like, it felt like a long time ago that every console community really cared about the players. And I was saying a couple of years ago that PlayStation are showing more and more that it doesn't feel like they care. It feels like everything's a little bit more calculated than it once was, a little bit more operational than it once was, for better or for worse. And I feel like this is an example of that. It's kind of like a, you know, but also there is the argument of like, if people did the £1 Game Pass thing just for Starfield, then is that exploitation on a player side to the business? But equally, you set up that offer for things exactly like this, or to be able to experience your Game Pass as it is, you know, as it stands with the games that it has on it. And so for you to take that away, it's cheeky girls, you know, it's for cheeky girls. Yeah, do you know what I'm trying to say? It's just like, you know, you've got an argument for both sides until there's this decision to, you know, when you do start something or when you develop something and you say, well, this is why we want you to do it because we think that we're amazing and we want you to join us, it suddenly doesn't become about that anymore when that gets taken away because a big game's coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get what you mean. It seems to happen kind of every time. I think it started around about when Halo Infinite was announced or released.
Yeah, and also says something about what they think about the quality of their games on Game Pass. So when they put it back in, are you now suggesting that your Game Pass is bit shit? Like, what connotations are you bringing by taking that offer off and putting it back on? Like, because the thing is, it's only for a month that people are trialing that out. And you can still get a lot of business from that £1 of like, yeah, I'm going to keep playing this because I have the excitement of starting when Starfield came out, yeah. You know, but now you won't get that. Now you're going to be cheeky and try and get £7 or £12, whatever the fuck it is now, straight out the bat. But actually, I think you'd probably get a lot more players being like, oh my God, yeah, I was on Game Pass from Starfield, like, because I got the Starfield and then I just explored and it was amazing. But I don't know if people are going to feel as motivated if they're paying £8. Does that make sense? Of kind of like, there's something about like the reason that offers happen, the psychology of marketing, and what that means and how people can explore more, they feel more able to explore because it's just £1, it's not a loss. And it might continue for them to stay. It's like why people do offers in the first place. You know, try for £4 and if you like it, then you can continue. But when something as big as this comes out and for you to take that offer away, it kind of just comes with a lot of connotations of like, yeah, we'll add it in a month when everyone's fucking over it and we're a bit shit again. Even though Game Pass isn't shit. It's just a bit like, no, I don't know what you're trying to say with that. It's just ever more apparent that it's very business and operational and very, like, I mean, we'd say in the NHS it's very clinical. It's just like, it's a very clinical way of doing something, isn't it? It's like, but for here, I guess it's very organisational. It's very operational. It's like, this is that, and, you know, this will mean that loads of people pay £1 to play Starfield, and that's not okay. It's like, well, you know, loads of people are technically getting it for free, I guess, because as well, you know, the people who are unsubscribing, but I guess then you're not getting it for free because you're subscribed. Oh, I don't know. It's one of those where I just, it's cheeky, cheeky. Cheeky, cheeky.
Clinical is a really good word, actually.
Yeah, it's very clinical. It's a very clinical way of doing it.
That's certainly how it feels.
Yeah.
Because it'll be back again before Christmas, because only Christmas promotions.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what are you suggesting and what connotations comes with that? And it's just, yeah, it's a very clinical way. It brings a lot of clinical connotations of like, we only care about you if you're going to pay £8. And the thing is, you're not rewarding. It's not like a loyalty reward either. You're not rewarding the people who are already paying £8 by taking that pound offer away. So there's that as well. Like, what are you trying to say?
Yeah. And also, if you have friends that have PC Game Pass, we all have codes that we can give you for like 14 days. So hit us up if you really want to check.
True, actually. Yeah.
Because, I've got I've got a whole bunch of codes that I can give you. Just let me know. It's cool. It's totally cool. Phil Spencer doesn't need to know. It's going to be fine. It'll be fine. Yog, what do you reckon to this? Do you think this is smart? Do you think this is unfair? Do you think this is like inevitable? Like Thanos? What do you think?
I can understand the business decision behind it. I do think it's a bit shitty, though. So, I mean, Starfield's not the only big release coming out over the next few months, so they're trying to get ahead of it. I reckon they'll probably... I'm in two minds. Part of me thinks they'll reintroduce it around about March, April next year when the release schedule starts to subside slightly. And then part of me thinks, well, they're probably not going to bring it back because they're not getting much out of it, really. And I'm not sure which one I properly lean towards, but I do think, even if I can understand the business decision behind it, but it's sad that it's gone because it was a hell of a deal. And it's harder and harder to find those deals in gaming nowadays. It just feels like you're getting nickel and dimed for absolutely everything. And this was a pretty good way of actually getting them back a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is what's interesting about it, because when it comes back, which it obviously will, whatever time, you know, Game Pass will have Starfield, but it'll also have Lies of P, Payday 3, the new Forza Motorsport, City Skylines, Persona 5 Tactics, you know, Jusun. It's like Kat was saying, it's like those games aren't worthy of this denomination. You know, it's very strange. It's like at that time, it's going to be worth so much more money.
Yeah, it's. I think Starfield is going to be on the main cause for this, but certainly not the only one.
Yeah, and Starfield now, if you go to the PC Xbox app and update it, it now has its own page. No other game has its own page. Mm. Like its own little tab on the side. It's like they are pushing the ever living hell out of this game. But of course, you will now need to fully subscribe to Xbox Game Pass in order to play it, or of course, buy the game outright. Which, you know, I mean, I suppose it's not the end of the world. It's not a huge amount. I think it's like £15 now for Ultimate, which includes Game Pass, PC Game Pass, EA Play, and Xbox Live Gold. So, you know, you are covered in that sense. But it's, you know, it's a little bit like you could have just like left it for a week, guys. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
there we are. There we are. But yeah, I mean, we are. There's no getting around it. Starfield is going to be freaking massive. It's Bethesda's first new game in 25 years. You know,
is it that long?
That's bonkers, right? That's the last time they released a new IP. It was 25 years ago.
The last time it was in the 90s.
Yeah, which would have been what? Fallout?
Fallout wasn't initially Bethesda. They only took it on at Fallout 3. So I'm wondering, what else? Elder Scrolls?
I suppose it must have been Elder Scrolls then.
Yeah. Jeez.
Goddamn. But
look, let me double check this, because that's an amazing stat.
So for the last 25 years, all they've been doing is making Elder Scrolls and Fallout. Effectively.
I mean, there's always Redfall.
Hey! Poor Arcane. Poor Arcane. You could do better than that, Arcane. We all know you can.
So Bethesda Game Studios, they did Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind as their first game.
Jesus.
They did expansion packs
So was that
for
1998?
game. Nope, 2002.
So what the hell are they talking about? Like, first game of 25 years.
So, according to Bethesda Game Studios' Wikipedia page, so it is Wikipedia, they did Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind in 2002. They then did IHRA Professional Drag Racing 2005.
Love it.
They did another drag racing one in 2006. They did Oblivion in 2006. That's a bit of a mix, isn't it? Oblivion and a drag racing game in the same year.
Love it.
They then did Fallout 3 in 2008, Skyrim in 2011, Fallout Shelter and Fallout 4 in 2015. Skyrim Special Edition doesn't count. Skyrim VR doesn't count. Fallout 4 VR doesn't count. Fallout 76 in 2018. The Elder Scrolls Blades, which is another phone game. So yeah, this is their first big. Yeah, it's the first IP where it's their own thing, because Elder Scrolls, they started at three, and although we now know it's a Bethesda game, there were Elder Scrolls games before them, so it was a known IP at the time. And Fallout 3 was their first Fallout game, and since then they've only done Fallout and Elder Scrolls. So yeah, this is their first like new IP.
God
That
damn.
that's big.
Yeah.
Unless we count the drag racing, but I'm not sure whether that
Mm-hmm.
actually had other studios beforehand. It seems to be one which was released on a yearly basis at the time.
Well, I mean, yeah, this is it. And then September 6th, we've got the main releases. I think it's September 1st, is it? The early access or August 6th?
Yes, yeah. September 1st. It's available at it's either midnight or 1 a.m. on the Friday.
I know what you're doing this weekend.
Yeah, my weekend's pretty booked. I know what I'm going to be doing, and if I'm not sleeping, I'm either going to be doing my normal streams, which I'm contracted to do, or I'm going to be playing Starfield. There's no in between. I've already told my girlfriend like I'm going to be a hermit. You're going to see me a lot less than normal. I'm just going to disappear in my room and play that the entire time.
Yeah, I was like that when The Last of Us Part 2 came out, and I was like, you just leave me in my blanket, I'll be fine. Poor ex. Oh dear, those were the days. Anyway, performance check is not available yet. Oh come on, let me know if I can run this damn game, can you please? Jesus, I
What
mean,
are you running on PC?
yeah, I've got a 3080, I should be all right,
Oh, you'll
but.
be easily fine. The minimum specs for it are 1070 Ti,
Okay.
so I'm only just above it with a 1080 Ti.
It's my RAM that I'm a little worried about, but it should be okay.
How much have you got?
Eight.
Oh, okay, yeah. You'll be able to run it, but it's going to be a bit tight.
Yeah, I am gonna get it upgraded soon. I found a place in Sweden that can do it for me, because I'm a bit scared of doing it myself. So I'm gonna let someone else do it for me that knows what they're doing.
I'll do it for you. I'm coming down to Taunton to help Cat move now, so I'll just replace your RAM whilst I'm down there.
I don't want to talk about cat moving. Can you not bring that up, please? That's really a sensitive subject for me.
Yeah, no worries.
God!
I
No, it's all right. Are you actually coming out to help him move?
mean, she said if she wanted help, I'm quite happy to go down there and
Oh,
help.
you're so cute. I was only joking, but I mean, I might take you up on it. So watch this space. It depends. You never know. But yeah, maybe we'll see. I hasn't even completed yet. I don't even know when I'm moving.
It's like that thing. It's like, oh, I'm just kidding, unless.
Unless, yeah. Unless.
As long as you got a sofa to stay on, I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, if you can carry it to the floor, you can sleep on it. Whatever you
Oh.
can carry, you can sleep on.
They have got super comfy sofas, believe me.
Nice.
Yeah, super comfy things.
Well,
Anyway.
it's very likely I'm going to Belgium to help a friend move house as well. So
Jesus.
apparently, known for hours. So I'm gonna have. It's not guaranteed that I'm going, but. If I do go, I'll have like 6 days to hammer through Starfield and then have to go away for 5 days.
I can't wait to speak to Tom afterwards. It's like, hey, Tom, how's it going? Yeah, beating it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm done. 100%, it was all right. It was fine. I should shout out Tom.
Tom has only been out for an hour. Yeah,
been
I know.
Out for 6 hours. Yeah, I've done it. Shout out to Tom, who, because Armored Core 6 came out this week. Our Josh has been playing it, and Tom. Obviously, two of them couldn't make the pod this week, but we will get him on soon to talk about it. But Tom has beaten it already 3 times. And I don't know how a human does that.
Well, he said that the first playthrough took 23 hours, and then the second and third playthrough took about 5 hours apiece. So yeah, in a week, it's less than a week, because we didn't get pre-access, did we, for it?
We got it on launch day.
It only released, what, 5 days ago? So in that amount of time, he's got 33 hours in, so like a day and a half. Almost.
How does it take 29 hours and then 5 hours?
So having watched my friend play Armored Core, it's very difficult. You need to learn. It's kind of like some of the Souls games in some respects, but it's very different. In there's a massive amount of movement. Your mechs can be very, very all over the place. It's a very, very twitchy, I would say. But because you level up your mech over time, you get better components unlocked, and it takes time to do that in the first playthrough. But the second playthrough, you've got all that, plus probably some new game plus stuff. So it's much easier because of that.
That's saving 24 hours off your time. I mean, that's pretty good.
But it was 23 hours and it was 5 hours. It shaved 18 hours off.
Sorry.
No, it's just me being picky. It's a significant chunk of time to chop off, isn't it? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, well done, man. We're all very proud of you, Tom. Not only does he demolish quizzes, he also demolishes video games. And yeah, he is the master. No doubt. When Starfield comes out, he'll do exactly the same. But we shall see. Right, now let's get to our recommendations. This is where we find something throughout the week that we want to share with you, our loyal listener, whether it be a video game, a movie, a TV show, a book, a pair of sunglasses, or a unopened box of McDonald's curry dip. I'm just looking at things in my flat right now. Kat, what is your recommendation?
I have two.
All right.
Because I found out today it's a very special kind of day. Ross, do you know what day it is?
And I think I'm going to love you for a long, long time. I do know what day it is.
Yeah. So I'm not going to spoil on here, but if you have watched The Last of Us series, then you may know there is a certain letter, and that date of that letter is today, which is gives me chills. But if you haven't seen The Last of Us on series, bloody hell, go watch it. Just go watch it. It's amazing. I think Yog said the first one was on YouTube. So you can watch it in HD on YouTube. So that's great. It's cool. Good times. So that's my first recommendation. A little bit of an anniversary-esque one. My next one is for Don't Starve fans. And Don't Starve and Cult of the Lamb have like come together. It's amazing.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And they've added a game mode to Cult of the Lamb, which essentially brings in the game mechanics of Don't Starve, where you have to eat and sleep to keep alive. So essentially you can play the whole game again, except it's kind of got this added element that during your runs and during your time where you have to look after your cult, you will have to eat cooked food, and you will have to, you can't just eat like an apple or like a cherry or whatever. How you actually got to cook your food and eat it just like everybody else. And you have to sleep, so you have to claim a bed just like everybody else. Otherwise, you'll go insane and you'll die. And the death is permadeath as well. So it's very interesting. Like, and it is the same in Don't Starve as well. So like in Don't Starve, you are afraid of the dark and that will kill you. You have to eat and you have to stay sane. And by staying sane, you have to do things like, you know, sleep, not be in the dark. Loads of things to stay sane, but in this one particular, they've just, you know, made it kind of almost, you know, sleep and eat. So it's a little bit of a crossover. It's really fun. I downloaded it. I played a little bit of it, but I didn't go too much into it just because I've played the whole game. I platinumed it. It's for me, I don't love replaying and replaying and replaying games unless it's you know nostalgia for me, unless it's like 15 years old. Maybe in 5 years' time I'll play it in that game mode, but I did have a little quick play and it is really cool. So if you do haven't played Cult of the Lamb yet and you want to A, play Cult of the Lamb, or B, if you fancy that a little bit more of a kind of extra mechanic, then do. But if you are the type of person that likes to replay games that they love, regardless of when they came out, it's definitely worth it. So it's called Penitence Mode in Cult of the Lamb. And yeah, looks awesome.
Cracking.
Yeah.
Cracking. Lovely stuff,
I
Cult of the
bloody love
Lamb.
that
Hashtag
they
stuff.
crossovered. Yeah. Excellent stuff, and I just like think that's fucking awesome, and I hope it's a sign of things to come for Play, which is
Yeah,
the
bring on
developer.
the Last of Us slash Shenmue crossover. That's all I want. I don't know how that would work, but you know, make it happen, people that know how to make things happen. Nice one. Yog, what is your recommendation this week, sir?
Oh, this is a difficult one. I'm never very good at these recommendations. My recommendation is going to be Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader, even though the game's not out yet. You can get the beta if you purchase the game. Not via Steam, I think you have to go through their website, but the beta has a ton of content in. It's got all of Chapter 1 and a lot of Chapter 2 in. I believe it's got a little bit of chapter 3, but I've not quite got that far yet. There is, for a beta, a ridiculous amount of content. I mean, I've put 25, 30 hours into it, and I still got loads to go. So it's a really good Warhammer game. It's a really good CRPG in my eyes. Albeit I'm not the biggest CRPG fan out there. And it really just nails the aesthetic, the immersion, the position that humanity is in the 40K universe. And the companions are really cool. There's some really fun weaponry, albeit there's stuff missing and so on. What a few bugs here and there. But overall, probably my favorite Warhammer release I'm looking forward to. And I thought Space Marine 2 would be it. That's still up there, but it might have supplanted it to the point I'm possibly thinking about maybe getting the collector's edition. So, yeah, I'm very excited for that. And anyone can play it, but I think you've got to buy a specific edition or something on their website. I'm not entirely sure the specifics, but I do know that someone can get into it via that.
Okay, cool. That was our contractually obligated mention of Warhammer there.
Oh
So
yeah. You're contractually obligated to mention Mario to some degree. I'm contractually obligated to disparage it, and then I'm also contractually obligated to say Officer Tenpenny,
damn.
and Warhammer
Yeah, there's our weekly mention of Warhammer there.
too.
For all you Warhammer fans out there. No, nice. That sounds great. I'm glad it's looking the business, and for fans, it's going to be killer. I have no doubt. What's my recommendation? I've got a couple, I suppose. Ladies and gentlemen, Firewatch is on Game Pass. I want to say that again. Firewatch is on Game Pass. I believe it's been on it before. It's been on it for a couple of weeks now already, but Firewatch is on Game Pass. What are you doing with your life if you're not playing Firewatch on Game Pass? Firewatch is in one my top 10 video games of all time. It is an absolutely spectacularly wonderful experience. And if you haven't checked it out yet, I just don't know what you're doing. It's designed by Ollie Moss, who is one of the world's great graphic designers. Just ask Mr. Paul Collette on that one. It stars Sissy Jones. She won a BAFTA for her performance in this. It's absolutely superb. The year is 1989. You are a man named Henry, who has retreated from your messy life to work as a fire lookout in the Wyoming wilderness. Everything is fine until it's not. Something strange draws you out of your lookout tower and into the world to explore a wild and unknown environment. It goes from there. The ending still gives me chills. I'm going to play it again probably in the next couple of weeks once I've actually have time to sit down and play it again. My first sitting, I played it in one sitting. I did not stop. We were very lucky to get a review code for it years ago. And oh my God, I absolutely adored it. And yeah, it's on freaking Game Pass. So go and play it because it's amazing. That's Xbox Game Pass and PC Game Pass. So yeah, go and check it out. Also, there was another one that I can't remember. Oh, yes, Hawked. Hawked is a PC game that I was playing a couple of weeks ago in the open beta. And it's coming to consoles in the beta this weekend from August 31st to September the 4th. It is a really fun kind of treasure hunting adventure game. I'm going to try and convince Kat, Miles, and Josh to download the beta and play it with me this weekend because I really think they'll like it. And I'm excited to jump back in again. It's just a whole lot of fun. It's PvP, 4-on-4. You've got to just beat another team to all the treasures in this game. And you do it by running around and doing lots of shooting of enemies and lots of just fun things. Fun things. And you get a hoverboard. You get a hoverboard, Kat. Why aren't we downloading and playing it already? You got a hoverboard. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be amazing. So, yeah, there's a game called Hawked. The beta is available to preload now, ready for the weekend. So do check it out because it's a whole lot of fun. And if I ask really nicely, hopefully the guys will join me and we'll have some PlayStation good times because it's...
Oh, go on then.
Yay! Very exciting. When is Mr. Thompson back from his retreat at the place of all the potatoes?
Mr. Thompson is back from his retreat from the place of all the potatoes and all the dairy cows tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. We've all missed him around here. No.
Aww.
No, I haven't really. That's all. No, I have a little bit, actually. Poor guy. I've got so many emails for him to put up on the site.
Aww.
As soon as he gets back, I'm like, right.
Right. Got to put you to work, boy.
Back to work, child. Yes. But anyway, that is it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all very much indeed for listening to our very super positive podcast. Don't forget, if you want to follow us, you absolutely can. Just go to the link tree in the description below to find us in all the places. If you want to follow us on Twitter /X, you certainly can at FNGRGNS. If you want to follow us on Threads, we are at @finger_GNS. But is anyone using Threads anymore? I don't really know. But we're there anyway. Why don't you go check it out? Except for Mars, of course, he's smart. And not on Twitter. All of our individual handles are in the description below, except for Mars's. I've already messed this up. It doesn't matter. If you really like what we do, you want to follow our Patreon for $1 a month. You can keep the podcast live on its various podcast hosting services and keep the website nice and shiny. Yeah. But until then, until next time, until Starfield Day, Yog Dog, I'm very excited about next week's podcast now. Oh, man. It's going to be a Starfield loving. Because it's only Yogdog that's played it, and we're going to ask him all the questions. That's going to be very exciting. Until then, until that auspicious occasion, it is goodbye from Kat.
TTFN!
Oh, we're bringing that bad boy back, are we? I like
it! Yeah, there was positive little sign-off going.
Yeah, because we are a positive, loving podcast.
What,
that's what
TTFN
we do.
TTFN mean?
It means ta-ta for now. It's from Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. Ta-ta for now. TTFN, ta-ta for now.
Gotcha.
Hee hee. And it's a goodbye from Yug Dug.
Happy Starfield launch week, everyone.
Let us say we are about an Xbox game. See, we can do both. We can totally do both. I'm really proud of us, guys. My name's Roscoe. We'll see you next time on the Finger Guns podcast.
Mario shit.
Oh, he was doing so well. Oh, I guess I'll shove this Starfield code up my ass. I'm kidding, I haven't got a Starfield code yet. Bye!